No. Well, I do want to say that our five executive members have been super positive throughout everything, and they've been doing a really great job.
I would agree with you. So here's the video. It's a couple minutes long. You guys actually made this like a week and a half ago, I think, before your spirit week. So there's a few things that are a little, from a week and a half ago, but the message I thought was super positive, like you were saying. So I think it'll be kind of fun. So we'll see how this goes.
Would you look at that?
Good morning, Jess. Maddie here with your daily dose of toilet paper.
I think the end of track, is that right? Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, hey PHS, how's it going?
Where have you been? What have you touched? Do not forget to wipe down every single surface of your body. You cannot enter this house before you have properly disinfected.
Coronavirus has undoubtedly reshaped our lives. This past week, we have been experiencing new changes, such as meeting virtually, not having spring sports, and being restricted in our ability to live normal lives. Though we may be living a new way of life, it is critical that in times like these, we find common ground.
As a community, we must find ways to overcome the difficulties we currently face, even in the small daily challenges. What is so special about living in Petersburg is that we are incredibly tight-knit and we can lean on each other. We as an ASB would like to reach out to the student body and ask how we can better serve each other and our community through these trying times.
We want to hear your voices. No one has been through this situation before, so we want to hear your ideas and feedback. How do you feel online classes are going? If you think there are changes that could be made to make online classes run smoother, don't be afraid to speak up. Our job is to listen to your ideas and bring them up with staff to make potential changes. Do you have any fun ideas for prom or graduation in case those events don't play out as planned? Please reach out with any thoughts, questions, or concerns.
Moving on from there, in the next week of April 13th to the 17th, we're going to be doing Spirit Week. That means on Monday, it's going to be Bring Your Pet to Class Day. Tuesday, it's going to be Jersey Day. Wednesday, it's going to be Wear Your Favorite Hat Day. Thursday, it's going to be Summer Clothes Day. And Friday, it's going to be Vikings Day, which means wear blue. We're doing this to have a little bit of fun in the day, to keep a positive attitude in this new online environment. We hope that everyone participates and helps to show our Viking pride.
As student leaders, we are still here for you. We are all in this together, and we can get through this together. Find creative ways to reach out to your friends, because being social and connecting with others is still very important, so don't be afraid to reach out. Take this time to rise up as a leader and spread hope and positivity. Most importantly, take care of yourself. Maintain a balance in your life of socializing, being active, and doing schoolwork.
Properly disinfected.
I love that.
Nice job. It was pretty entertaining too.
That was fun. Okay.
All right, Marita. Gave us a written report, but
So besides the video, that pretty much covered what the ASB wants people to know. I have been told that from our ASB that people did reach out just giving their suggestions and ideas. And I think everyone was a little, I think we're on our third week of distance learning, and it's a little overwhelming just because there's still stuff to be done and it's just not the same as we're used to. So I think a lot of the students were feeling overwhelmed, but I also know that the teachers have been working really hard to like hear those voices and try to make it the best they can. So that's about it. because we're in the middle of our spirit week, so that's been fun. It's been fun. My favorite was the bring a pet to class day, because we don't usually get to do that for spirit week. So yeah, that's really good.
Yes, I will say, even down to the middle school, it was a favorite of my son's.
Katie, did you have a question?
I do. Is ASB doing anything for Earth Day coming up?
Not that I know of, but I can bring it up, because we have been trying to just do things that are like... encourage involvement. So that would be a good thing to do, since we can do that.
Julie Walker at the medical center reached out to me yesterday talking about some different mental health kind of things that she's trying to, and community wellness things. And so she was curious about a community cleanup, if ASB was going to be hosting anything this year, or if the school district would be willing to donate a few garbage bags that we can maybe hand out on the, like with the school lunches that are going out, if families would be interested. So I wasn't sure if that was what ASB normally does, or if the school would be interested in partnering kind of with the medical center to try to do a community cleanup. So.
Okay. I will bring that to the
ASB. Okay. Thanks.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
You can still clean up garbage with social distancing. Yes. Quite easy, probably. Okay. Thank you, Maria. Probably don't need to yell, but I feel like I have to. All right. Next correspondence. We do have the health mandate number 13, which I don't know how well, if everybody's already heard about this. But Eric, I don't know if you want to input anything. And this was kind of what Cheryl and I were talking about a few days ago. On whether, you know, the school, this was before the health mandate came out, that or that school would be, we would not be going back to the brick and mortar.
Right. Yep. So this just came out on, gosh, Friday. My brain is, yeah. So they did extend the closure beyond May 1st. They had given us kind of that tentative deadline, and then they extended it to the end of the year. So at this point, we are not, we will not be going back to the brick and mortar building, but we are continuing our distance model through the same, you know, calendar. So there's some, there were a few questions I think I heard out there from people just wondering will school extend into June, you know, that sort of thing. And no, it will not. At this point, we are following our same calendar, with modifications the way the delivery model looks, but the dates being the same for the end. And then, you know, just still, we really don't know what the summer will look like, if there's opportunities for summer school for some students who might need that. Not a panic, don't panic. We're not sending everybody to summer school, but we offer summer school anyway as an option for some kids. So just knowing that we don't know what that will look like either. And then just thinking about, as this continues, what mandates might come even as far as the start of the school year in the fall. So just, you know, we're just trying to be proactive, I guess, and prepared for whatever might be coming down the pike for us. So I just wanted to include that in case people hadn't seen, you know, that, that latest mandate, and they do keep coming every day. It seems like there's something new. So the mandates have an impact on various things like planning for graduation and all those kinds of things too, because large group gatherings and such are clearly not on the list. And I think that was another one of the things on here. I think they actually, yeah, they do. They expressly, you know, discuss prohibiting gathering for events such as graduation. That doesn't mean we're not going to still recognize the students and have something very creative, but having a large gathering, we can't do. So that's that mandate, the wah-wah-wah mandate.
Well, I'm almost wondering if we can, I doubt, well, I shouldn't say this. Any comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items or even related to agenda items, considering we don't really have an audience besides the KFSK and the pilot. But even comments from board members of regarding this, and Maria, you too, of any creative ideas and how that could be kind of gathered and submitted so that people could, because there could be something none of us are thinking of that would be a great way to celebrate seniors. And maybe that's even emailing the ASB and they decipher those, you know, whether it's community members with ideas or staff members or... I'm not really sure where to funnel that information.
I would definitely contact the ASB because they're both the student leaders and also a lot of them are seniors. And so we have a senior meeting every Wednesday. So to discuss things like graduation and baccalaureate and how we're still going to get around those things and try to recognize seniors. People can email me and I can send them along to the current president of ASB. I can, my email is fundm@pcsd.us. It's the last name and the first initial. So you can also, contact any of the other board members that way too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Email. Yeah. Michelle, did you want to say anything to that effect or what were your thoughts? I know that you and I had kind of started talking about it a little bit.
Well, I think that Erica answered my questions.
Oh, okay.
I just know that I didn't know if we might quit school early or if that's what they're like, who knows what people were thinking. And she answered all my questions.
Okay. Great. And I do think, and Rick will probably address this a little bit when he does his report, Mr. Dormer will, but the ASB group with Mr. Shumway and Mr. Dormer and the students, and then of course with Ms. Lenhard and Ms. Lohr as the senior advisors, there's a lot of planning going on with that group and then just coordinating with the parents as well. So I'm sure Mr. Dormer will talk a little bit more about that too when he gets to his section. So definitely want the feedback from, you know, from families and definitely want the kids to give their ideas as well. In fact, I have a list of a few from their meeting last week that I'm going to bring to the emergency operations meeting that I attend every other day with our community incident command group, because some of them, you know, we need to ask some questions. And I think the kids had some ideas about some creative parade ideas and just some different things. So I'm going to ask. So Maria, your name is actually attached to one of those ideas on my list. So,
yeah.
So.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments? I guess we don't have an audience. So I'm just going to skip 8 and 9 kind of because I don't think there's anything on there, but any other comments from board members, whether related to the agenda or not? Okay. Or any staff members, I guess, here that are online with us that aren't directly reporting that wanted to say anything. Okay, I'm not hearing anything. So we'll move on to the consent agenda. It's for the March 2020 monthly accounting reports, bills, payroll, and electronic fund transfers, ASB trial balance, and P-card statements in the amount of $750,820.86. And I'll make a motion to approve that consent agenda. I have a second.
A second.
Cheryl seconded. Motions were made and seconded. Any discussion related to that? Okay, hearing none. Irene, please call the roll.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Meg Litster?
Yes.
Katie Homeland?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Maria Fun?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Moving on now to our administrative reports. So we'll start with you, Erica, Superintendent Clint Painter.
Okay. So I feel like I'm talking on the radio a lot, so I really don't want to spend a lot of time talking tonight because every day we do our little show and I feel like I'm probably sharing more information about life in school than I ever have before, which is great, by the way. I feel really good about that because I think we're just talking about, you know, challenges that we're facing and talking about successes that we're having and hoping for feedback, and I do think people are giving feedback, so that's good. So I will not spend too much time, and I really want to let everybody else do their reports too. So my main statement is, I really can't believe how different our life is since our last board meeting. So, and I think about every other day on the radio, I refer to the fact that I feel like we are still, you know, building the ship as we sail it. And we are, I think, doing a pretty darn amazing job. As Maria said, there's some challenges, there's questions, there's issues, there's a little bit of that overwhelmed feeling, and the teachers feel that too. So I think we're all doing our best to keep that communication going and to really focus on the relationships as well as the academics. But really, you know, we're really trying to keep that, the lines of communication going, and focusing on you know, everybody's overall health and mental and social and emotional well-being, because this is just really so unprecedented. So I think we've all done a good job of making sure that that is really at the forefront. I also really do just want to recognize the efforts of the admin team, who, you know, we had no spring break, and so, which is when it all started, and you know, that's, and which is okay. I mean, they did it all willingly, and we all just worked a lot of hours trying to figure out what in the world this all meant. And so I just want to recognize Mr. Dormer and Ms. Kahn. I want to recognize the guy who lives with me and does all the tech work, John KP. He is coming up for air a little bit. Recognize Jamie Cabral for his efforts. And a lot of us are doing national meetings at the same time, you know, a lot of online Zoom crazy stuff, because there's so much going on around the country. So Jamie's doing a lot of that with activities too. Carly Johnson McIntosh and the Herculean effort with meals. Incredible. And Dan Tate and his fabulous custodial crew, keeping everything ship shape and chasing around after everybody when they're in and out of the buildings, keeping things clean. Karen keeping us on track with the crazy purchases that are coming through, trying to get technology going. And Bridget keeping us on track with all the guidance that's coming out around special education. So just to really recognize the team. And for, of course, Irene, keeping us all together. And she's in the office right now, so there she is. You can see her. But just a recognition of the efforts there, and all of our teaching staff, our aides, who have felt pretty out of sorts because they don't get to be with their kids, their individual kids, and they're having a really hard time with that. And they're just there for anything we need, and jumping in with food service, doing any task that we need done. They've just been so willing. The food service crew, working lots of hours. And of course, just our custodial staff. So just really want to thank everybody for those efforts, and our amazing students and families who are doing this. We're doing it. So it's been amazing to watch. It's been tiring, but it's been very inspirational. So I just want to acknowledge all of that. I'm happy to hear we're doing some fun things. I loved the different challenges and spirit weeks. I think it's important to try to have a little bit of normalcy and goofy stuff in the middle of all this, because there's a lot of heavy stuff. If you're watching the news every other, you know, minute, there's something new. So we need to have fun. We need to keep it light if we can in the midst of all this. So I was really happy to hear a lot of that, some fun, goofy things. And Heather and Rick will both talk about those. We've got a lot of technology deployed from K through 12. Glitches there, but so much good that's happening, and it's allowing us to connect like we're doing tonight. So I just really want to recognize the efforts financially and just the tech support that's gone into that. And one last thing on meals. I just want to say we have served almost 5,000 breakfasts and almost 4,000 lunches since this whole thing started, a little over, and this is our fourth week with meals. So that's unbelievable. And now we're working with some guidelines to do some weekend meals. So there were some meals given out this last weekend, and now we're actually asking people to sign up, families to sign up, if they're interested in weekend meals. So that will be going out this weekend as well. So just really trying to take care and support each other during this time. I think it's just critical. People don't do well if basic needs are not met. So food and some security and some regular communication with friends and teachers that they know and trust, and just keeping those relationships going. So just, I really just want to say thank you to our amazing staff and our families. So that's my report.
Well, I'd like to add that I'm not sure we would be doing as well as we were if you weren't steering the ship, Erica. You've done an amazing job, and as a board, we really appreciate it, because I'm not sure, you know, if we were in different circumstances and didn't have your leadership, we would be successful. So it has a lot to do with who's at the front of the ship steering. So thank you very much.
We're back to our ship metaphor.
Yes, well, I'm picking that one up and using it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And poor Bergen, your daughter she deserves a pat on the back too, because I'm pretty sure she's not seen a whole lot of her parents.
No, she doesn't have parents for the last few weeks. We're coming up for air though. Thank you.
All right, on to principal's report. This is Con. You've had some fun daily briefs for the elementary school. I have sure enjoyed them.
It's been a lot of fun. So our in-service days for April, originally we had April 16th and 17th. That's this Thursday and Friday marked as in-service. It is regular school as is for us. Lunches will be served, breakfast will be served, and we will continue doing what we're doing for distance education. We're going to build in some professional development within our school days, so it will kind of just equal itself out as the time goes. Eliza is hosting for migrant education weekly literacy events. So it's a Title I and a migrant ed event, and it can be found on the Racy Stedman Elementary page, the Facebook page, every Thursday at 1 o'clock. And it's pretty creative how we're getting attendance. You just need to comment with your name in the comment bar, and that's how we're taking attendance for these events that are happening. So if you see that, there's a little bit of interaction. There were some sunflower kits that went home this week for anybody who signed up in the comment bar. We are springing into Reed. It was so fun last week. We dressed up. We had a blast. And we ended the week, Mrs. Martin got a pie in the face, and that was absolutely awesome. So she got it on videotape and posted it to the Stedman Partners in Education page. And then Eliza sang a song, and that was super awesome. And then Miss Rachel on Saturday at 4:30, she went into the ocean right there off of Hungry Point, and it was super cold. So lots of supers, lots of amazings, lots of awesomeness going on. If you haven't already, go to the Stedman Partners in Education Pie page, go to Racy Stedman Elementary page, like them, join the clubs, get in there. You can post, you can also email, and we can get your participation that way as well. And I would love to thank the Stedman Partners in Education. It just, you know, you came in at the right time. You helped us. You got everybody reading, everybody excited about this, you know, the distance education. And I really can't thank you enough from all of us for them. There's a lot of cancellations going on. So school inside the school has been canceled, but that doesn't mean that we're still not outside the school learning. So a lot of state testing, exploratory night, fifth grade play, the Stickeen River trip, beach walks with your class, but that doesn't mean that these are canceled for us personally, you know, or at home. So we can still do all these things. We just got to be careful. I'm looking for feedback. Teachers are looking for feedback. Remember to communicate with the teachers, provide feedback, check your emails daily. I know that there are newsletters going out daily, weekly. So just keep in contact that way. It's the best that we can do right now. And so we just look for that feedback. There are guidelines that are coming out as far as what grade level and how much work should be doing. So we really want to hear your feedback, because we're really trying to make that work for everybody right now. Look for the Stedman bulletins that are posted on the PCSD website. They're also sent via email, and they're posted weekly on the Facebook page, which is on Fridays. We have the bookmobile that's new, so you have to get your books ordered by Wednesday in order to get a delivery on Friday. We have the meal form out there, so look for those forms because they're there, they're present. And then the last thing that I'd like to say is I would like to thank the ladies who made our masks. So that goes a shout out to Kelly Peterson, Sally Dwyer, Sue Wood, Susan Holmes, Joyce Bergman, Marcy Gellis, and Kathy Reamer. And they worked hard to make our masks during spring break, and they came with over 100 of them for that first day back for all of us on the 23rd. So just a shout out to them for that. Any questions?
Oh, thank you, though. All right. Next, we have Mr. Dormer for middle school and high school principal's report.
Yeah. Okay. Good evening. Yeah, lots going on in a very different way. I mean, we had a meeting, and then I was off to regionals, and you know, we just such a fantastic regional tournament, and then everything got turned around, and here we are. Again, I won't read verbatim what I submitted there because I think y'all looked over it. But the secondary school, again, we had a jump start because we live in traveling student world. So it was really a little bit of an easier transition, although this is not the same. And we say that often. We said that today with our ASB students. We know that this is not the same as getting ready for college. We know this is not the same as being on a baseball trip and just working, you know, at a school or something. It has components of that, and there's a lot of nice responsibility pieces and online learning and connecting and some skills that students are developing. But we recognize this is a very different situation, whether that's a family dynamic, whether that's an emotional dynamic, whether it's just a learning, just a change. I mean, one of the students said, you know, for 12 or plus years, we've been learning one way in a classroom, and all of a sudden now, really almost overnight, we were expected to learn a different way. And then Mr. Shumway kicked in. He said, well, some of our teachers have been teaching for almost 30 years in a classroom with a board or, you know, or whatever. And that's been completely ripped away. So, and that was a good comment as students were just sharing ideas about how teaching is going and how the learning. So we are moving along, but it's a learning curve for everybody. And we're very aware of that. I use the word impressive. Our teachers has jumped in and gone with it and just dealing with the challenges. And our students are responding. We have excellent attendance considering what we're doing. I was in jumped into Mr. Engel's PE class. Mr. Cabral got to do it last week. I saw Mr. Young Holmgren in there. 100% of the sixth grade class was in there doing PE today. And he doesn't have 100% attendance every day, but we did today. I told him my joke. It might have been with the overweight principal in there trying to work out. That's a little bit of a sight to see, but kids were having fun and they're getting active. And that's the kind of attendance and things they're doing. Teachers are talking, kids are getting connected with their teachers. They'll put them in breakout rooms and they get a chance a little bit to get that connection with their peers. So there's a lot of good things going on. It still is an uphill battle as we just try to make it better and better for kids. And just mostly finding new ways for them to connect and kind of get into the somewhat regular routine of school. So many people to thank again. I've talked about our teachers just really being impressive. The classified staff, yeah, out of sorts was a good way, as the superintendent said it, because they're in here, you know, to work with kids, and that's stopped. But then we didn't, you know, we don't have a lot of work, and then they're working weekends, and then there's a kind of a pause. I mean, they're really swinging back and forth, and they're all in it together to do what we can for kids and to make this a smooth transition. But so thankful for their willingness just to jump into things that they probably never thought they'd sign up to do, clean out lockers, delivering food for our culinary kids, all that stuff, which is, it's really cool and it's going really well. I drive by every now and then, I'll see them and they're wearing their masks and they're smiling and just being the professionals they are. We talked about how things are going. You knew with Spirit Week, that's going great in both schools. Jamie Cabral is doing the bulk of the lead for middle school, and I appreciate his leadership for the middle school student council, and they're doing a Spirit Week and they're working on a video. And so some cool stuff happened in the middle school as well. We're thankful for that. I'm saying a big thank there for the to the admin team. I know superintendent as well, but it's just a really good time, just a really good crew for helping form what we're doing. So I'm really thankful to be part of that team and just us bouncing ideas back and forth and trying to figure stuff out for several weeks now. And again, it's part of the reason we have such great success is the collegiality and the great ideas between that team. So I'm thankful for that. We are planning now. After that last Friday, we kind of knew that was coming. We're digging in pretty good. I've got three meetings just a week, this week, just specifically designated to planning for the special senior events and what that looks like. Our ASB student, Maria's right, they have been great. They've been giving us a lot of really valuable, Mr. Shulman's writing all these notes to pass on teachers, both about learning, but also about just kind of what they're feeling as seniors and what they'd like and what they wouldn't like, what they don't feel good about. I think there's been a couple ideas about pushing graduation to August or something like that, if we were all, you know, if it was safe to be closer together. And they've been very clear that's not something very many seniors want, you know, and they recognize they're not all 38 of them in that one space, but really good about what works and what doesn't work. So that's a great group. And Maria said it exactly. They would love to hear from people if they have thoughts or ideas about these special events there. So a lot of stuff going on. There's obviously some resources coming out. Every school everywhere is trying to figure this out. So it's not just us alone. And so we love hearing ideas from everybody. I'm in the middle of an email to the senior parents, which involves me as a parent, but also as the principal, and just sending out, asking for ideas and sending them some of the cool ideas that we do have and seeing if they want to, how they want to jump on board. So we're reaching out to the senior parents. We're reaching out to students. Obviously we talk about it with teachers. So lots of ideas going out there. We have a list of all the events, and we always joke that May is such a busy month, and it's busy just in a different way now. So we're looking at that list of events and trying to figure out something like prom. There's not a lot of options. I know that Mrs. Kahn has a prom planned at her house for her family, and that's an option there, but there aren't a lot of ways to keep social distancing and dance, you know? So, you know, some of those unfortunately won't happen, but there's a lot of ways to do other things. We're talking about the Elks dinner, scholarship night, you know, baccalaureate by the Ministerial Association. I'm hosting that. And of course, graduation. We're going to do something, and we're going to do something big, and it's going to be fun. So welcome to ideas from all different folks, community members, parents, especially our kids, and of course our staff at the end, trying to narrow it down and figure out what we can do that's going to honor kids and obviously that's feasible and staying within the borough mandates. So questions for me?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Okay. Hearing none. Thank you, Mr. Dormer. All right. Moving on to Director of Activities report, Mr. Cabral.
Short one for us. Lots of things happening in the activities world, but coming back from regions, we had Mr. Dormer was there and got to be part of our probably 9 teleconferences a day that we had as we started our tournament, and things started to ramp up pretty quick. And so it was the most interesting region tournament I think anyone has ever seen before. And but the kids did great. They adapted really well. It was amazing to see how fast things evolved. And within the first day, we started sending teams home just so we could be a lot safer as more things were starting to ramp up in the state of Alaska. By Friday, we had 9 groups gone from the tournament, but we adjusted and just played the games that we needed to, and could not thank the Juneau School District enough with how well they were communicating with everyone, all the precautions they were taking. Katie got to be there for our 2 championship teams, our boys and girls, won Region 5. So congratulations to them and our coaches and our kids. Disappointing not to have state, but everyone understood why. And so it was really good that they just went with the flow. And Marcia Sandhofer helped tremendously in working with our Alaska Airlines, trying to get our kids home, and working on Saturday, trying to get all of our kids home as fast as they could. So it was great. To put it plainly, it was good, as well as it could have gone. All of our spring activities have been canceled for the rest of the school year. And then just came out on Friday, we do have an adjustment for our out-of-season contact as well, because typically come May 20th, coaches can kind of do their own thing with the kids and do camps and all of those things, and that has actually been repealed. So we still have a no-contact period with our coaches, which will throw a little bit different for summer camps and things of that stuff that happens. So just working on a lot of resources to support our students, our parents, our families with the loss of activities. That is one of the big ones, as our national meetings happening every day. That has been a lot of the talk of kids losing all of those really fun activities that go along with the academic piece, because we are an extension of the classroom. That is something that it's been a lot of resources for the parents to help out with the students. And it's kind of fun to see the kids outside of school every now and then, but from kids that you would never think of, they miss school tremendously. So, but a lot of thanks to all of our ADs for that, that help at the tournament as well. And now we just kind of go day by day to see when we will get back, but trying to put in little bulletins in there for our kids activities wise. Hopefully everyone saw last week, and we did as a family too. We watched McFarland USA, trying to find some activities to keep everyone involved with some team things and having that connection. But that is it for activities. But thanks to everyone and Erica for the help. We kept in contact with them quite a bit during the region tournament on what was happening day by day and hour by hour, minute by minute. But it went as good as it could have gone. So. And thanks to Mr. Dormer for being there too. So anything else?
Hey, Jamie, does this activities cancellation include esports as well?
It does. Yep. It includes esports because of everyone trying to come together to make sure that they've got enough bandwidth to keep the playing area fair. And so some people might not have as good of internet at their location. So all of esports right now is also canceled for the rest of spring. We do have our region meeting next week, Thursday, to kind of talk about what we're going to do. And then the state meeting is going to happen a couple days after that to kind of figure out where we're going from here. But that does include esports. Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. It seems like that might be the one.
Yeah, that was a lot of the talk. That might be the one that could keep on going and our numbers would increase. Just the technology of getting home in some locations, you know, with Mount Edgecombe, if they continue to esports right now, all of their kids are back home in the village or back to their home locations. So the playing field was very uneven to kind of keep a spring esports thing going until we kind of nailed all the tidbits down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Comments? Okay. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you. All right. On to Director of Maintenance and Facilities, Mr. Tate.
Good evening, everyone. So during the spring break and the extension, the custodial crew worked diligently on cleaning and sanitizing the school's common spaces in the hallways. And as the staff prepared for their distance instructional delivery in the following weeks, they did their best to keep up with the movements of the staff for the short time that they were in the buildings. The administration did a great job of scheduling the staff to keep those numbers manageable for us. Some of my staff have fielded public questions about their current workload. It may not be very apparent, but the schools require a lot of upkeep whether we have students or not. The district has 4 custodians and 108,000 square feet of interior space and a large outdoor campus to manage. So we are currently operating as if we are in our summer deep cleaning mode. And while no one wishes to be in the state in April, to the maintenance department, it is almost a gift of sorts. Our small staff gets the majority of our summer cleaning done on time, but there's always so much more that we wish we could accomplish. And so we're taking that time now to get into those nooks and crannies that are deferred from time to time. This is also true of our maintenance program. Summer is a perfect time to take on those construction projects that are going to enhance the learning environment. However, it ultimately pushes our preventive maintenance needs into the next school year, where they are further pushed back due to the daily upkeep of a dynamic school environment. Since Rans has returned from his quarantine period, he has been working on that deferred maintenance list and getting a jump on the upcoming year. And then prior to spring break, Alaska Burner and Boiler of Anchorage made an annual visit to check on the tune of our boilers and address some odd glitches in one boiler. This specialized work ensures that the district's power plants are operating as efficiently as possible. And on that note, we have also powered down the schools and reduced our heating and ventilation to minimal needs and scaled back the garbage service as well. I've been assisting the borough as needed and participating in the borough's IC meetings. This is mostly making sure that they have access to the gym to build the overflow hospital ward. And I had the district's emergency backup generators inspected and serviced ahead of schedule in the event that they might be needed. And I'm also working on project planning for the district's summer construction projects, and that current list includes the elementary fire panel will be replaced per an earlier board approval the first week of June. The high school concrete entrance ramps and stairs will be rebuilt in June as well. 2 covered entrances will be built, one at the new high school cafeteria service door and the other in the district office. Two pieces of previously purchased playground equipment will be installed on the playground, and a large portion of that funding will be from the Molly Parks Memorial Coffee Fund. And an ADA upgrade to the public bathrooms near the gym hopefully will get started and completed, and replacement of the exterior doors leading to the gym. So it's still a full plate, and we're happy to be here and doing what we can for the district. Questions?
Wow. That's a lot going on. I don't think, most of us have, at least I wasn't aware of all that you guys have on your plate already. You're going to leave us in great, we're already in really great shape, but Thank Dan. But that's a lot stand. Between now and July. Any other comments or questions for Dan? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Moving on to committee reports. We've got crisis, Cheryl. I'm going to guess that most of us haven't had a meeting just because a lot of other stuff.
I haven't had a meeting. No meeting.
Mm-hmm. Curriculum?
Nothing meeting? Going on.
No.
Okay. And Jay, facilities? Probably not.
Nothing, no.
Okay. We don't have anybody for legislative liaison. We've kind of been watching that a little bit. We did get a budget passed, and maybe even Eric, and I don't know what else we can kind of wring our hands over that one. But
yeah, I could say, I mean, the legislature, passed a budget a couple of weeks ago, and then the governor's vetoes came through with the the additional $30 million, and then they he had knocked that back, and then also went after the school bond debt reimbursement again. So for us, those are two, those are bummers for us for sure. We had already intended to just, base the budget on a flat, funding without the $30 million, but it just seemed like a bit of a cheap shot at this point in the game, but we'll see where it goes.
Nothing with negotiations because we're not in it. Policy, we haven't met since the last time we met face-to-face, which I'm inclined to just wait until the fall and see where we're at.
Yep.
We might be doing something different with policies that we need to over the summer, but we'll, that would be in August or so just because of, we'll see where we're at and whether we can actually get back into the buildings safely. Yep. Technology?
We haven't had a meeting.
Okay. And wellness, Katie, it sounds like you might have had a little bit of activity or at least contact, huh?
That was that the wellness stuff I was talking about before was through Share Coalition and Medical Center. The wellness committee meeting, though, was canceled, unfortunately. So, okay. And it hasn't been rescheduled yet.
Okay. Next, we want number 14, special recognition. Welcome, Meg Lister, back to the board. Been quiet, but
hi, thank you.
Are glad to have you back.
when I submitted my letter, you just don't realize what can happen in a month. So I'm happy to be here, give you all full board and kind of know the ropes. So here we go.
Great. Thank you. Okay, no old business, so we'll move on to new business number 16, which is the spring budget revision. Director of Finance Karen Morrison will provide an overview of the fiscal year 2020 spring budget revision. So I'll make a motion to approve the fiscal year 2020 spring budget revision as once she presents. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded, so now we'll watch the presentation and we can have a discussion after. Or
was
during whenever.
I'm sorry, is that Cheryl that seconded?
Yes, I'm sorry, Cheryl seconded.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good evening.
Take it away, Karen.
Tonight I'm pleased to present the fiscal 20 spring budget revision and answer any questions that you may all have. In today's board addendum, there are two attachments for tonight's presentation. This one is the actual budget summary form, but the PowerPoint presentation that I have for you tonight is actually going to just line item walk through this. So, all in all, given the current unprecedented time we're in, the Petersburg School District is in a stable financial situation due to our previous conservative budgeting. And the proposed changes that we have in our revenue from our approved winter revision are an overall increase of $154,037. So it's increasing from, this is revenue, increasing from $8,757,769 to $8,911,806. And these increases in the revenue are primarily from an increase in local revenue that is the result of our P-card reimbursement is actually going to be dispersed in May instead of July. So we're recognizing that, as well as an APEI safety grant that Dan just submitted to APEI. We have increase in student activity revenue of $4,356. Those are our gate receipts from our basketball games. We have a decrease in our student fees of $13,000. This is primarily due to the cancellation of spring activities. And then the big increase that we see in our revenues is from House Bill 287, which was that $30 million one-time grant that's outside of the foundation funding. It's an increase of $141,000. And we didn't initially budget for that, which was good on our part because now we have additional revenue that we've been able to use to address COVID issues as well as other technology needs that we addressed prior to COVID, which I'll talk about in a little bit. And then the final increase is in other state revenues of $2,304. So those are our increases in revenues. For our expenditures, our overall increase of expenditures for the spring revision is $51,705. That brings our spring total expenditures to $8,788,774. The biggest thing that's affecting this spring revision is the result of COVID. For example, eliminating subcosts. I did reconcile all the salaries and benefits. We maintained our teaching and office supply budgets, so nobody had any reductions to those as we're looking through the different numbers. And we've eliminated our travel budgets. When we look at this proposed spring budget revision, we do it by function. And what function means in government accounting is what we're actually doing in the district. So for our regular instruction, I'm proposing that we reduce the budget by $4,601 so that our new expenditure would be $3,763,858. We see a larger increase with our special education, and the proposed reduction is $42,653, so that our expenditures are $1,161,720. This is primarily where our sub costs, you see the reduction in that, as well as I always build in at least a part-time paraprofessional, because when we do our initial budget, back in June, May, June of the previous year, we're not sure what our staffing needs are going to be. So there's always a little buffer in there in case we need to hire additional staff. So I have reduced that. And you see the reduction here with the 42,000. Support services. This is our counselor budget. And my proposed reduction is $3,276. So that this line item is $297,559. This is where we're going to see the biggest change. This is support services instruction. This is our library and technology budget. And this spring revision, I'm proposing that we increase it by $125,252 to a total of $841,033. Prior to COVID, and once we realized we were going to receive the funding of the $30 million outside the formula, we recognized that we needed additional, it would be a good time to purchase additional technology needs. So with the winter revision, we had approved the purchase of staff refresh computers. So other things that were identified that would go along with this were the cases that we carry our staff computers in. We wanted to get new ones because they're like 10 years old. Also update our student backpacks. It was identified to, there was a need at the elementary school for 100 iPad minis. And that was $43,000. And of course, we didn't plan for COVID, but this worked out perfectly because we already had this in motion. And it was very easy for, okay, it wasn't easy for John to get this up and going, but we had already planned for that. So he had anticipated that. And he also identified that there's a few smart board displays that needed replacement as well. So this is all prior to COVID. This is when we knew we had the additional funds from the state that we had identified those needs. The needs that have come up since COVID-19, we were able to purchase Chromebooks. We spent $47,000 on Chromebooks. And then also just identifying that there are so many more needs in technology with this new distance learning that we built in $13,000 into John's budget for technology supplies that are specifically related to COVID, any type of need that he might have that is technology related. Now, all of these purchases are coded to a specific program fund so that they're trackable. So we have a COVID-19 program code. So all the technology that we're purchasing specifically related to this is coded in that way. And I'll be able to provide information to the board and to the public on what COVID actually costs the district. The other increase is in his sub budget, because John has needed additional support. So I want to make sure that he feels supported in that way. So we increased his sub budget. The other areas of the school district, school administration, that was actually flat. There was no change in that line item. So $325,600. School admin support, proposed reduction of $5,681. This is the secretary's budget, and it's primarily reduced by sub costs, so that this line item would be $238,361. We have district administration. I'm proposing we reduce that by $9,906. This is the superintendent and the school board's budget, and it's primarily reduced because of staff travel, as well as I did reduce the legal fees. I always make sure that we have adequate legal fees budgeted in there, but it's over budgeted. So this line item would be $355,473. District admin support, this is the finance budget. I'm proposing an increase of $5,738 to a total of $257,965. Primarily, this increase is due to an insurance deductible that we've had to pay that just came up. So we have to increase that to accommodate for that. In the next slide, operations and maintenance. This is another area where we do see a small increase. I was able to build most of the increase within the budget. So for example, we moved $30,000 into maintenance and custodial supplies because Dan believes that he can do many of the summer projects, or his predecessor can do many of the summer projects in-house. So I am proposing that we increase his budget overall by $12,724. Of this, $8,000 is set aside for COVID maintenance supplies, as well as custodial supplies, to make sure that he's got everything that he needs to disinfect our facilities and keep everybody safe. Student activities, I'm proposing that we reduce this budget by $25,892. For a total of $375,276. The primary categories in student activities that have been reduced are the cancellation of spring activities and the impact of the salaries and travel on that. I did build in additional funds into the activities budget by moving things around so that activities can purchase some additional supplies and equipment for the future. So our total expenditures are $8,788,774. This leaves us with an ending fund balance of $901,156, or 10.3% of our fund balance. The state has given a waiver this year that we can carry forward more than 10%. What is not reflected in here is, in addition to this 901,000 fund balance, I have also set aside 280,000 for prepaids, which is a normal practice that we do. We normally prepay some of our fiscal 21 bills in fiscal 20. And that helps us carry forward as close to the 10%. And the other thing that I want to remind the board and actually the people that are listening, when I'm presenting this budget, the assumption is that every penny is going to be spent, which has never happened since I've been with the district. There's always a little bit of fund balance remaining. So I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with 11% fund balance at the end of this. And then my last slide is just a reminder that this is really a fiscally conservative budget revision in such an unprecedented time that continues to support board goals. And I would entertain any questions if you guys have any.
Well, I would say I'm glad to hear that the carryover fund balance, that they're given a waiver for once and that we could actually save a little money. And, I mean, put it away instead of just the usual, you know, the limitation is at least lifted this year. I do have a couple of questions. What was the insurance deductible for? Was it for, obviously, for a claim? Is that something that you can share publicly, or is it something that is, would violate anything?
Erica?
Yeah, it's an employee claim from a couple of years ago that's
okay.
That's been resolved, and so that's the $10,000 minimum that the district, that's the portion.
Okay. And then the Chromebook, can you also maybe share with us where the Chromebooks for, you know, the public, that was a pretty big ticket item, and how, what they were purchased for and where they've been deployed or, you know, given to?
Yep. So what we did is we made the decision to purchase those for the third, fourth, and fifth grade students.
Okay.
Because they are, there's the ability to manage those is easier than managing laptops, in the sense that you can lock them down differently than you can laptops, which we felt was a better, a safer way to send these home with students who have not had them in their home before. So mm-hmm. there's a kind of a tool, it's called Go Guardian, and it's a way that John can actually manage, you know, shutting them off, turning them on, from a distance. I mean, he's not in there watching them, but I mean, you know, he can do that. So, and then they've also shut down things, so they can't really just sit and randomly search either. If teachers request to have certain sites opened up, they can do that, but it's not really open to just be completely open and searchable. So we felt that was a safer mm-hmm. alternative for third, fourth, and fifth grade. So, and they'll be put back into the system. The kids in the elementary get the recycled, you know, we managed to keep our laptops going here for about 10 years, mm-hmm. Which is pretty unheard of, but trying to send those home with kids would have been extremely challenging, because we managed to keep them going in those classrooms because we have people on site that can keep them up and running. So we felt it was just a better use of, a resource, and then they'll just go back right into our system, hopefully in the fall. So
okay, it looks like Heather typed in that teachers are also able to see everything and everywhere a student is going on those Chromebooks, the third through fifth graders. I think that's pretty important. Sounds like you guys were really thinking about that before you got them to the kids, mostly because I think they haven't gone through the digital citizenship class. They're and just being a younger group of kids, and especially for some parents, including myself, even though I don't have a third, fourth, or fifth grader yet, wouldn't necessarily know how to manage that or prevent it, you know, them getting into something that we don't necessarily want them to, especially if it's a school-issued laptop or piece of equipment. So does anybody else have any questions for Karen?
I saw a couple notes in there. Katie just made a note about she liked how locked down the Chromebooks were, and yes, Karen, as usual, is we're back to the ship, but she's keeping the ship in the right direction, and she's participating in all kinds of webinars and WebExes as well on just because every day there's something that changes there too, you know, a waiver or flexibility within our grants, and just keeping us on track with that is incredible. And yeah, we're in good standing right now. So thank you, Karen.
Can I make two more comments?
I have a quick question, Karen.
Oh, go ahead.
You had mentioned that purchases would be reflected with a COVID code. Does that apply to things that you reduced funding on as well? So when we go back through this, we can, like the student activity thing, does that get coded as like a COVID issue as well? Just purchases.
So there's a couple of different things. And I'm glad that you asked that question. One is that, you know, FEMA will reimburse COVID-related restricted supplies. By restricted, I mean, and they're not going to reimburse for everything, but they'll reimburse 75% on, let's say, some of the supplies that Carly's using. So Carly's fund, which is in a different fund, it's Fund 255, the food service fund, anything that she's would not normally buy, but is only buying because she needs to serve food or disinfect a specific way because of COVID, those are all going to this program code. So eventually I can pull all the expenditures district wide that are related to this. So the budgets that have COVID program codes is food service, maintenance, and technology right now, because those are the primary areas affected by that. Sarah, I did want to tell you that at the state level, we are actually, I'm president of LASBO, so I'm doing a lot of advocating as well at the state level. And we are actually trying to get this 10% waiver for 2 years at minimum, just because this is not something that's going to go away in 6 months. It's the impact is greater than that. So we would like to see the waiver for at least 2 years. And then the other part I wanted to share is we are going to receive receive funds from the state in May, specifically related as to the COVID-19. It's going to be run as a special revenue, so it's going to be similar to our grants, and we will have till September of 2021 to use those funds. They're going to actually be fairly flexible, but they're going to be more of like an add-on to the Title I. Or if you think back to the ARRA funds, you know, and when I first came on in the district 2010, they're going to be run similar to that, but there will be more flexibility. So we are going to see additional funds come through.
Great. Well, thank you. Very thorough explanation. Everybody else have any comments or questions for Karen? Okay. Let me get back to my agenda. Okay, so motion has been made and seconded to approve the 2020 spring budget revision. Barring anybody else have any comments or questions, we'll go ahead and, if nobody does, Irene, can you please call the roll?
Meg Webster?
Yes.
Katie Homeland?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Carol File?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Maria Funt, are you still there?
Okay. Yes. Motion.